Good morning. Welcome to the special service of worship as we recognize the work of the American Baptist Women's Ministry. ABWM of Massachusetts is celebrating 90 years of support, service, and sharing of the love of Jesus for each other. Several of the women of our congregation are sharing in the leadership of today's service. We extend a special welcome to visitors. And if you are visiting for the first time, we invite you to fill out a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. You may place the card in the offering plate during the morning offering so we may know who has been here worshiping with us. We also invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of conversation and refreshment in the Judson Chapel located directly behind the sanctuary. Your calendar has included all of the week's activities that's printed on the back. If you'll all turn to page 534 in the blue hymnal, we will read the social responsibility and justice from the Old Testament readings. We will read it responsively. By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, share with God's people who are in need. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. If your enemy is hungry, if he is thirsty, do not be overcome by evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live, then the Lord God Almighty will live with you. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, we do not make requests of you because we are righteous. O Lord, listen. O Lord, hear and act. I guess to turn page 544 in the blue hymnal for Come All Christians, Be Committed. Those who are able, please stand.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Thank you. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, we gather this day to seek you with our whole hearts, minds, and souls. Teach us to know you better and love you more dearly, that we may serve you and others more faithfully through Jesus Christ our Lord. We now join in the prayer that he taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward at this time for our moments together. Good morning. Good to see you here today. And this is a special service where we have some of the women in our church participating in the service and leading worship. And the theme for the last couple years has been this. And who can read this for me? Who can read this? Elizabeth, what did you say? A time to serve. When you see that word serve, when you hear that word serve, not necessarily here in the church, but when you hear the word serve, what comes to mind? Anything? To give? Okay. Anything else? To give what? Can you give me something specific? Well, Shanice? To serve God, okay, and we serve others. In tennis, when someone serves, what happens? Janice? They give the ball, that's right. They put the ball into play. It's called a serve, right? And if you go to a restaurant and have dinner, someone brings food to you and they serve you the food, right? Okay, so it's often giving something to somebody else, helping someone. Well, there's a story in the Bible. In fact, it's a story with Jesus in it. And there were two sisters named Mary and Martha. And Jesus came to their house a lot, we think, from scriptures. They seemed to visit there a lot. And they also had a brother named Lazarus. Well, there's in one account, one story about Jesus with Mary and Martha. Lazarus is not included in this story. But Jesus is at the house, and it's like he's in the living room talking to the guests. And Martha's out in the kitchen getting lunch ready. And Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him and laughing and having a great time. And Martha gets upset because she's alone in the kitchen and she wants help. So she goes in and says to Jesus, Master, would you tell my sister to come out in the kitchen and help me? So we can serve the lunch. And what did Jesus say? Did he tell Mary to go in the kitchen? No, he didn't. He said that Martha wasn't paying attention well enough. She had her focus someplace else. And that Mary, at that moment, was doing the right thing by being with Jesus, listening to him, learning how to serve in other ways. And that Martha needed to cool it. So we don't know. We assume that lunch happened at some point and that Martha probably got cooled down and settled down eventually. But it's an interesting of how to serve. That two images of service right in that same story about Martha, the common thing that we think about serving a meal, and she thought that was her duty to her guests. But Jesus is saying, no, that Mary's learning how to serve a different way. And what you were, the kind of serving that you were mentioning to me about serving God and serving others, which Jesus taught. Jesus didn't teach us how to set the table and how to serve food. But Jesus taught us how to serve others, how to put the ball into play, how to talk about Jesus to others. That's what Jesus had us doing. So when you see the word serve or service, I want you to think about, you know, what Jesus wants you to be doing and how you can be serving Jesus in other ways. Being perhaps more like Mary, learning from Jesus, and then going out and telling others about him. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for being able to come together this day to worship you. We pray, Lord, that we may be like Mary, that we may sit at your feet, that we may learn from you, that we may then be instructed to go out and share what we have learned here at the church as we serve you and serve others. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. We are omitting the solo. You may be saying, oh, Martha's standing up and shouldn't be. Irene is ill, so she is on the prayer list. We need to remember Irene. She wasn't able to be here last Sunday either, and was hoping to be here to sing and also direct the choir today. So we want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer today. Others that we want to remember are Lucille Berry and Helen Fleet as she continues to recuperate from her broken leg in the summer. I mentioned during the summer Gino Graffio, who is a nephew of Steve Lacy, who was critically ill this summer, has been transferred to a step-down hospital, but still is paralyzed from the waist down and probably will not regain use of his lower extremities. So for a young man, very frustrating right now. So we want to keep Gino and his family in prayer and what the future may hold for him. It's uncertain at this point. But Amelia Lanton is here today. Amelia's been ill in the last few weeks, but she's well enough to be here today. It's good to have her with us today. Claire Stevens is with us today also, and Claire's been ill a little bit, so it's good to have Claire with us today as well. And there's a stranger sitting next to Claire. He looks like he fits right there, but Kevin moved to Texas in July, and it's good to have you back with us, Kevin. So we did share. I shared your picture that you texted. You know, this summer I shared it with some folks after the service the following Sunday. But it's good to have you with us. Also, we want to keep Jackie May. Jackie went home on Monday of this past week and fell at home on Friday and broke her hip. As far as I know, she had surgery yesterday. She was scheduled for surgery yesterday, and she's at Melrose Wakefield Hospital. So we want to keep Jackie and her husband, Alan, and her sister-in-law, Linda, in prayer. They've been the caregivers for Jackie. So we want to keep the extended May family in prayer today. Also, as I mentioned, it's good to see Kevin. Peggy's got a birthday today, and so has some family with her. So we celebrate birthdays as well. And so do you have any requests for prayer, either concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Mark? Okay. Mark and Dottie have a nephew that's having eye surgery, so we want to keep him in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Sharon? Right. Right. Right, the bicyclist that ended up underneath the trash truck that rolled over his head down in Linden Square. On Wednesday. Sharon's friend's daughter witnessed it, seeing it happen. So we want to, and very traumatized by that, obviously. So we want to keep the family of the person that was killed in prayer, but also those who saw it in prayer today, too. Eleanor? Okay, so you've got loved ones that are facing some surgery and in a lot of pain. Right, your sister-in-law that we've been praying for passed away this summer, and we want to continue to remember her husband and their son in prayer to them. Okay, anyone else have a prayer? Kevin. Ooh. Ooh.
Very well.
Sure.
Woman I'm staying with.
Okay. Okay. Woman who Kevin's staying with, Donna, has had a diabetic reaction. Her friend had a diabetic reaction, but is doing better now. And Kevin's mom, Karen, tripped shortly after moving and cracked three ribs. Cracked the ribs, so. But doing better now. Good, good. Josh. Great. Okay. So Josh's mom's birthday is coming up this week, and also has asked for prayers for himself for a medical issue with his eyes with high pressure, and just praying for the medical staff that's going to be caring for you and trying to get the pressure down. So we'll keep those folks in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Debbie. Okay. Niece's mother-in-law had a heart attack and she's recovering from that, so we'll keep her in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we've come to your house this day to worship you. And we thank you for that opportunity to be in this sanctuary, to view the majesty of these stained glass windows, hear music from the organ, to sing and listen, to share celebrations and concerns and spend moments in prayer together, Lord. We could do this someplace else except seeing the things that are here. But Lord, we decided to come here this day to be with other people. For some, it may have been very easy to get here, and others may have been really struggled to get here. But Lord, we have come, and we thank you for this opportunity to spend these few moments in private and congregational prayer, in a conversation with you, Lord. Forgive us when we just give you our list of wants and needs, and then say goodbye. Remind us, Lord, that you want to commune with us, that you have messages for us, and help us to have open hearts and open minds to receive your half of the conversation, that it's not just a gimme list, but that we look for guidance and instruction from you. Lord, we have shared celebrations and concerns with others this day. And we lift up to you those who are ill today and pray for your healing according to your will in their lives We pray for those who are in pain and those who are struggling to comprehend what's going on in their lives. And pray for clarity from you. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting emotionally and mentally today, and we pray for those that have witnessed traumatic things and don't know what to do about it. We pray for those who have experienced trauma and are uncertain where to turn for help. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may be with those people that are traumatized in some way today. We pray for those that are being held against their will, O Lord, not only in this country but around this world. We continually hear of more and more people being captured, being taken away. Some are being killed. Others are missing for days, weeks, and even years. And the presumption becomes that they have died. Lord, we pray for those who are living with unknowns today as well, that they may have clarity, they may find answers to their questions. Lord, we also thank you for the ministry of the American Baptist Women's Ministries. In Massachusetts, it's 90 years of serving and sharing, of coming together to work and promote missions, as well as fellowship within local congregations and within the region. Lord, we pray that their ministry may continue, that it may be strong, that it may continue to support those on the mission field, that those who are on the mission field may know that they are not forgotten, that they are remembered both tangibly and through prayers. Lord, as we look around our world, we sometimes shake our head. We hear of diseases flourishing with no known solution or treatment for some, and others experimental treatments that have apparently worked so far. Lord, we pray for those also who are caught up in dangerous situations with no cause for themselves to be there, but just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Lord, we pray for those who are in danger today. And we pray for their safety. We pray that your Spirit may be with them as well. They may sense that they are not alone. They may sense that there are people praying for them, lifting them up to you in prayer and holding them in our prayers. Now, O God, we offer all of these things to you. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, the first hymn we sang was about being committed, being devoted, and dedicating ourselves to ministry. We have an opportunity now, during our worship service, to tangibly support our ministry and our outreach through our morning offering. So at this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Let's pray together. Lord, we join the chorus of offering praise to you through our words, through our actions, through our songs, and through these gifts. We ask, Lord, that you would bless these gifts and bless us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Today, through our scripture readings, as we've sung, thinking about how you can shape us and use us in service to you and one another. Lord, the expectations sometimes are very high. And while it looks very easy on paper and sounds easy when we say the words, but when we try to put living like a Christian into practice, we realize it can be very challenging at times. We pray, O Lord, that this day that our hearts and minds may be open to you, that you may give us a word of encouragement, or a word of challenge, a word of help that will enable us to continue on our spiritual journey and help us to be more faithful disciples and better servers. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been seated at a formal dinner table with a wide array of plates and glassware and silverware placed in specific areas in front of you? And if so, have you ever felt a little intimidated by the quantity and perhaps the shape of some of the pieces of china, glass, and silver placed before you? Many college business courses include sessions on proper etiquette when being interviewed and when dining out. Students learn the purpose of and how to use each of the items in a formal dinner place setting. And this reminds me of a story I heard once. While setting the table for dinner one evening, a little girl entertained herself by bringing the utensils to life. Her mother listened as the knives, forks, and spoons carried on conversation as they wrestled their way onto the table. Suddenly, the little girl looked over at her mother and declared, "If I had to choose, I'd be a spoon." "A spoon?" her mother replied, intrigued. "Why would you want to be a spoon? What's wrong with being a knife or a fork?" "Well," the little girl explained, "forks are too grabby, always stabbing stuff and taking it like it's theirs. Like in school, I hate it when somebody takes a piece of my dessert with their fork and eats it for themselves." "Okay," her mother said. "What about a knife?" "No, knives are scary. Like, they cut things, and you can't really eat with them. Just slice stuff up," the little girl responded. But the little girl continued, holding a shiny spoon in front of her, "Spoons can scoop up lots of stuff and even pass it around to others. They're just nice and round and smooth and friendly," her mother suggested. And her daughter's eyes lit up and said, "Right! I'd rather be a spoon." Be a spoon. Live like a spoon. It's not just a silly childhood reverie. It's a great image of a Christian lifestyle of ministry in motion. That little girl's analysis of silverware is very thought-provoking, and it's also revealing insight into the way various types of people who live and function in this world. Do you want to be a fork? We've all known plenty of forks. In fact, sometimes we may not be all fork, but sometimes we probably have always been a little fork-ish in our lives. These are the gimme people. They are never seem to have enough on their own plate to satisfy themselves. So they constantly are on the lookout for something more, something better, something different. They stab up anything that they can sink their tines into, whether it suits their tastes or not. In their greed, gimme more fork people can't stop to savor the morsels they are collecting. The only cravings they care to satisfy is the stab it so you can consume it desire. Want to be a knife? Knife people are fixated on what lies before them, but only because they are trying to figure out how they can carve it up into a new shape, especially a new form that they will totally be in charge of, and they will totally determine that shape. Knife people, and we probably all know some of them, and we may have been a knife person at times as well. Knife people are control freaks. Knives try to reconstruct reality so that it will serve their purposes, so that it will suit their preferences. No matter what is placed before knife people, it's never quite right. The sharp blade of the knife goes to work slicing off anything that they find offensive, cutting down any big goals into tiny piecemeal projects, dissecting the heart out of ideas, never leaving anything whole. Want to be a spoon? Spoons are distinctively different because instead of taking, spoons are designed to give, to serve. A spoon offers sustenance to others. It's not just concerned with scooping up everything in its path for itself or reconstituting everything to fit into a preconceived image. Spoons exist for one purpose only, to serve and to save. Spoon people are adaptable. They can operate in a variety of venues. In fact, I remember as a child, I didn't want to learn to eat with a fork. I always wanted to eat with a spoon because I found it most easy to eat with that. And we think about spoon people. They're probably the easiest to get along with, too. Whether it's hot soup or freezing ice cream, spoons can scoop it up. Spoon people serve others, but they are also the best at stirring things up. Ever notice that in good silverware sets, there are always twice as many spoons as anything else? A service for four includes four knives, four dinner forks, four salad or dessert forks, and eight spoons. That's because everyone, including the utensil manufacturers, know that spoons get used for more things and in more ways than do knives or forks. Because their shape is less specialized, spoons are more adaptable. We can eat steak, spaghetti, or soup if we have a spoon. If necessary, a spoon can even do a little cutting. Who hasn't successfully sliced through a reluctant rock-hard cantaloupe with the edge of a spoon? Being a spoon, a server, a saver, sometimes means dishing up some pretty stuff, tough stuff. Being a well-balanced, sturdy spoon can do it. The Apostle Paul, before his Damascus Road encounter with Jesus Christ, was a knife person. As a zealous Pharisee, he tried to surgically cut out Christianity, which he deemed as offensive, an offensive growth on the body of Judaism. His strict adherence to the law had already sliced his view of right and wrong, clean and unclean according to the law, chosen and cursed, into neat, predetermined pieces. He could look at someone and say, "You're in or you're out." But after Paul relinquished his confidence in the flesh for his commitment to Christ, Paul found that his honed edges were beaten flat and smooth. His narrowness was pulled into a wide bowl. His rigidity was bent into a gentle curve. In other words, Paul was transformed from a knife into a spoon. And in his new spoon form, Paul became committed to serving Christ by serving others. The sharp, pointed attacks of Saul the knife became the nurturing, nourishing scoops of service and salvation dished up by Paul, the spoon. As a spoon, Paul demonstrated that he could dish it out, but he also could take it. In all his correspondence, it's obvious that Paul himself received sustenance and support from the Christian communities, the churches and faith that he helped establish. Paul could take the abuse, the insults, the imprisonments, the cold, the cruelty that he experienced as a servant of Christ. In fact, he welcomed those experiences, viewing them as ways that he could participate in Christ's suffering. Not even the prospect of death fazed the Apostle Paul, for he was fully convinced from the eyes of faith that the gift of righteousness that he had received would bring him to full participation in Christ's resurrection. So what kinds of changes would we have to make to our souls to stop all the frantic fork stabbing and nasty knife slicing that pierces our lives? What would it take to replace those actions with scooping out spoon-like service? To be in service to brothers and sisters instead of being in competition with strangers and those we label as others. To give up trying to have it all and instead commit to sharing it all. To cut out carving up those who are different from us and instead adapt our attitudes to meet their needs. To stop worrying about what is on our own plate and instead start paying attention to the nutritional needs of others who sit around us every day. Being a spoon, being a Christian in service to others, doesn't mean we have to be a slave to any and all demands thrown our way. As a faithful witness of Christ's love, Paul knew that there were times when the dish he was called to serve was hard for his audience to re-swallow. For example, the various Corinthian groups fighting for theological preeminence and spiritual superiority didn't want to hear that the greatest spiritual gift was love. The proud Athenians, with their sophisticated pagan ways, did not want to have their patron goddesses revealed as just another lifeless silver statue. The proud, law-touting Judaizers in Philippi did not want to hear all they thought they had gained was loss. Yet Paul also recognized that spoon spirituality is the essential ingredient for effective ministry. Do we want to live like a spoon? Then we need to dish up a one another helping and heap it on someone's plate. We learn how to do this through reading and putting Scripture into action. For example, we read these words in Scripture. Love one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Welcome one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Agree with one another. Become slaves to one another. Wait for one another. Have some care for one another. Encourage one another. Be at peace with one another. Seek the advantage of the other. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Bear with one another in love. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, or envying one another. Be subject to one another. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. No longer pass judgment on one another. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. When Christians spoon up these one another's, there will be no need for knives or forks. So let us all live like a spoon. Let's pray together. Lord, how easy it is sometimes to stab at things and cut things up, to try and make things the way we see that they need, we think they need to be. But Lord, remind us the importance of looking at others, caring for others, to be a spoon, to be of service to others, to put ourselves not in the first place, but in the second or third place. Lord, it's a challenge to live like a spoon, but Lord, we pray that your Spirit will shape us and fill us and encourage us to share with others, not in the harsh criticism, but with compassionate love. Help us to turn to Jesus and follow his role model as we are spoons to others in our lives. We ask this all in his most precious and powerful name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Make Me a Servant, number 535, and we'll be singing it through two times. Now, might Christ be with us as we seek to follow his example, scooping and sharing and not stabbing or cutting, forgiving and not hating, uplifting and not tearing down, serving instead of being served, and doing all things to the glory of God. Amen.